Simon Ridgway, Gold Group, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for sitting here with you, chatting. It's been fun so far, and hopefully will continue to be so.
Absolutely. So I was talking with your guy in investor relations, and he said, you have a story about poker, and I want to ask you that story about poker in the Yukon.
Well, early in my life, I was kind of nomadic. I traveled quite a bit around the world and to places that had caught my interest as a kid, and the Yukon was one of those. So I went up to the Yukon territory in about 1975 and found out that, you could work in the bush and get paid more money than I'd ever made before. So I worked in the bush in the Yukon, line cutting, claim staking, doing that bush laboring kind of work during the summers, and then in the winters I'd drift down to Latin America and find a beach or two. And then I did that for a few years, and then when I was in Dawson City in the Yukon, I'd play a little bit of poker in Diamond Tooth Gurdies, which was the only poker game in the only casino in Canada, I should say. Anyway, so I did that for a few years, and then one year I went to work, and we went off into the bush to work, and the guy that I worked for, called Molly Barker, the helicopter couldn't get in to fly us out. So we played poker in the back of the truck, three of us. And when the helicopter could finally get in, Molly owed me $1,500. And I was never going to really collect. It's one of those games that's kind of friendly, kind of not friendly, you know. So about a month later, he came to me and said, I've got these claims in the Wheaton Valley. Why don't I sell you 50% of those claims for the money I owe you in the poker game? So I said, well, explain the situation to me. So we did. So I accepted the deal. And then about 6 months later, we sold those claims to a company called Omni Resources, and we got 25,000 on signing and 50,000 shares in the company. And those shares went to like $4 or $5. So my $1,500 parlayed into like several thousand. So I was like, wow, this is a good industry.
So after then, you got hooked on mining, right?
After that, I started learning about. So to sell those properties, I had to do a bit of work on them. So doing the work on them, I employed a geo and began picking his brain about what's rhyolite, what's andesite, and learned a bit about mining, and then started prospecting and vending my prospects to companies in Vancouver. I traveled through Vancouver in the springtime, kind of find out what the market was looking for, molybdenum. It wasn't always gold in those days. And then I go to the Yukon and do the research, find some projects that look interesting, go back to Vancouver and sell them to the Vancouver company, people running companies in Vancouver. And one of the benefits of Canada is that any work that's ever been done in the resource sector in Canada, people record their work. And that information becomes available to you 5 years later, or even earlier if they drop the claims. So when their ground they're working on becomes free trading, the work they did and the results they've got become available. I don't know any other country in the world that does that, but it really promotes mining. And for someone like me, I wasn't really a prospector. I was more of a researcher. I'd go through the Vancouver, find out what the market was looking for, go up to Yukon, do the research, find out where the potential for that mineral was, stake some ground. These reports, this work might have been done in the 50s or the 60s or the 70s. I'd develop a play based upon that and go back to Vancouver and sell it to the people running public companies. Then I began playing poker in Vancouver too, because I became a sort of semi-professional poker player, and I found out that the brokers running the financing these companies and the people running the companies, some of them weren't that smart. So I thought, if they can do it, maybe I can do it.
Right, right.
So in 1991, I listed my first company, which, by the way, it was called Tombstone Exploration. It took me a lot of battling to get that listed with that name, because tombstone means dead rock.
Right. Right.
But I, the more people fought against me using the name, the more stubborn I got. And I finally got it listed in 1991. And now I'm back working in the reason I called it Tombstone is because there is a belt of rocks in the Yukon called Tombstone Volcanic Intrusive Suite. And now it's become very famous because there's been some big discoveries in that. Snowline Gold was found 7 million ounces in a Tombstone Suite intrusive. So I'm back in the Yukon again, exploring those tombstone sweet intrusives. Kind of where I started out. So I've gone full circle.
Come full circle. Well, tell me about that.
Well, Gold, there's a group called, a Gold Group is really a management company. It's not a, it's a group of companies with the like-minded people that want to reduce the cost, keep the cost of overhead down. Okay. So we share CFO, we share office space, which, you know, so it keeps the overhead down and allows us to spend most of the money in the field.
Right. That's music to my ears as a stockholder.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we've had a lot of success over the years. Fortuna Silver Mines was part of, was spun out from a Gold Group company.
I was an early investor, but sold way too early.
Way too early. Well, Jorge worked for me. I worked in Guatemala. That's where I met Jorge Ganosa. He was a geologist working with a company that finished up failing in a poor market. So Jorge came to work for me in Radius Gold. And he spent about a year doing that. And within that year, he came to me and said, you know what, would you grubstake me to find a silver prospect? And I agreed, and my partner, Mario Shortlander, who's part of the Gold Group. So we grubstake Jorge for a couple of years, and finally he found a project that we could buy in Peru called and they still have that, the Cuyama mine. It's a lead zinc silver mine. It's more lead zinc than it is silver. But we acquired it and marketed it as a silver mine, and it did become... Silver became the principal mineral for a while. It's back to zinc again now. So that started Fortuna Silver. And then we made a discovery in Oaxaca called the San Jose mine, which was really the backbone of Fortuna for the next five or several years.
Yeah.
Now they have quite a number of mines.
Yeah.
You know, it's a New York listed $1 billion-plus company. So it's very proud to be one of the founders of it.
As you should be. So where is, I guess, your... In different parts of the world, where you're still in the Yukon, correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm still back in the Yukon. I'm back in the Yukon now after being gone for a long time. Yeah. When that company, Tombstone, got listed, 1991 was a tough time to be in Canada. The flow-through money wasn't flowing very well, and it was a tough market. And I had an Alaskan placer miner, Vern Hall, said, I'll buy 50% of your IPO. If you commit to me, you'll move to Venezuela as soon as the company is listed. And start exploring there. And I couldn't get it listed for exploring Canada, so I was sure.
Yeah.
So I got it listed in November 91, and I moved to Venezuela.
Yeah.
And started exploring there, and was kind of lucky because in 93, Robert Friedland created a huge gold rush in Venezuela, and I was there with a lot of properties, so I looked like a genius. So I made a little money on that, being in the right place at the right time. And I left Tombstone. At that point, Tombstone had got, you know, a couple of hundred employees. We'd raised several million dollars for it. And I was thinking, this is not, my skill set's not here. So I went back to Vancouver and took over a company called Mar West. And all the years I was working in Venezuela, I mean, for a prospector and a researcher, there's nothing to research there. There's no records.
Right.
There's no rocks. It's all saprolite. So all the years I was working there, I would fly back up to Vancouver every quarter to do the... I was kind of the only employee, right, that was in Vancouver. So I'd file the quarterly reports. And all those time, I'd fly over Central America and see all those volcanoes, all that rock. And I was thinking, that'd be a good place to explore. So once I left Tombstone, I went back to Vancouver, took over a company called Mar West, just by... invest in financing it, basically. It was a broke company, and took it to Honduras, and then found some gold deposits. I got lucky.
I'm not surprised.
No, I got lucky. I really did. I mean, some people say...
You're the luckiest man I know then.
Yeah, well, let me tell you how it began in Central America. I read a book on geological exploration, right? And it sort of, in my research in Guatemala, in Central America in general, it seemed to me that most gold deposits that had been found there were at least spatially related to hot spring centers, right? Typical epithermal systems.
Yeah.
And all those hot spring centers in Central America had been documented by the French and the English while they tried to find geothermal systems. So I had all these books that were telling me where the hot springs were and which ones had silica and which ones didn't. So I went and investigated all the ones with silica and, you know, found three gold mines over the next 12 years.
That's a great story. That's awesome. So I guess, where is your focus right now?
My focus is still in Central America right now, in Mexico in part. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been lucky to attract some very good geologists around me. Bruce Smith is one of them. He's running a company called Radius Gold. It is active in Mexico. We've got three joint ventures, one with Fresnillo, the biggest silver producer in the world. Second one with Pan American Silver, also a large silver producer. So they're exploring properties for us. I'm back active in Guatemala again. Guatemala, you know, Latin America is always difficult. For instance, several years ago, Bolivia, Ecuador, Argentina were countries you really couldn't explore in politically. Now they're the most attractive places to go. And yeah. Chile and Mexico, which were the big places to go years ago, are becoming less and less attractive. Guatemala has been consistent. It's always been a terrible place to go. It's state level. Yeah. But what's good about it is the geology is similar to Mexico and it's unexplored. So I've had some good success in Guatemala. You know, in 1999, or the year 2000, we made a discovery, Cerro Blanco. It's now at 3 million ounces, but it's still not being mined. It's still sitting there, mm-hmm. right? It's now owned by a company called Bluestone. Very high grade, open pit or underground. It could be mined either way, but it's still sitting there. But it's a great place to explore, which is what I love. So the volcanic rocks of Guatemala are really untouched compared to Mexico. So I'm still working there, waiting for those right windows when you can make a discovery and sell it on. Not to leave somebody else with a headache, but at some point, people will realize they need employment. They need to stop these people migrating to the States. They need to generate reasons they can stay home and work at home and get jobs in their own country. Yeah. And mining does that. But for some reason, European countries and green groups put money in to convince people in Latin America that, especially in Central America, that mining is bad. So they, we won't get into that. It's a boring story. But basically, it's a great place to explore, full place to mine.
Yeah. Well, Simon, if people want to follow you more about your projects, the companies that you're involved with, how would they do that? And how would they follow you?
Well, they can contact me directly. I'm in by, sridgeway@goldgroup.com, and I'll respond to that, or the websites of the companies, radiusgold.com, racklagold.com. Rackla trades with RAK on the TSX, and RDU is a radius symbol. So that'd be a good way to take a look at the companies I'm running and what else I'm doing.
Excellent. Well, I will put all of this in the show notes below, as well as on Spotify and Apple. Simon, very interesting man.
Pleasure to talk to you. I'm glad I was able to get some of those stories at least a little interesting.
They are. I told Adam, I was like, I think I'm going to be talking to Indiana Jones.
Yeah, well, not quite, but
thank you so much.